Our text this morning is taken from 1 Timothy. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'll read for you from verse 10, from verse 6 to verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to verse 10. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. My topic this morning is the sin of greed. The sin of greed. And I believe this sin is very familiar to all of us. We know what greed is all about. And we are living in this world that is full of sin and full of greed, aren't we? The economics of greed is buy on credit and owe as much as you can. Borrow from others and delay payment as long as you can. In other words, buy and if possible, don't pay for what you buy. Borrow and don't pay back. That is the economics of this sinful and greedy world, is it not? And have we imbibed this kind of an economics and philosophy of the world? I pray as Christians, we do not. And greed is destructive. Greed breeds ingratitude and treachery. Greed will bite the hand that feeds it. And the motto of the wicked and the greedy is this: what is mine is mine. And what is yours is also mine. Well, that is the philosophy of greed. I see, I want, I take. By hook or by crook, I must have it. Do we have such a worldly philosophy of life, or such lustful feelings and desires in our hearts? We ought to beware of greed. And when we are greedy and covetous, we not only destroy our own selves, our own lives, we also destroy the lives of others, even our loved ones. So I want to warn of this sinful and destructive vice called greed. It is a most grievous and destructive sin. As Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, which we have just read, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, take note, it is not money per se, it is the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money is the root of all evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. This sin can even be committed by Christians. We must watch out for the sin of greed, the love of money, and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Greed is a sin and an evil that will lead us to break all the Ten Commandments of God. Have you ever thought of this and considered this? Why is greed such a grievous and destructive sin? Greed is such a destructive and grievous sin because it is a sin that breaks all 10 commandments. And this morning we want to look at everyone, each one of the 10 commandments, and see how greed can lead us to break all and each one of the 10 commandments. And you know the 10 commandments are found in Exodus chapter 20. And many, if not all of you, I pray, I hope, have memorized the 10 commandments. What are the 10 commandments? Let us look at the first one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The sin of greed breaks the first commandment. Because we make money and material our God. When we make money our God, we break the very first commandment. Because greed is the religion of materialism or money theism. You make money your God, isn't it? And the dollar sign becomes the symbol of our worship and our adoration. And this is the sin of Singaporeans. Money is our God. Materialism. We displace God from our lives and replace Him with our own selfish ambition and adoration. We replace Him with our selfish ambitions and plans. We worship ourselves. We worship our plans. We adore all our man-made strategies to become rich. And then we forget God. Did not the Apostle James talk about such a man? If you turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 13 and 16, and here we read. Go to now, James says, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. And what do we boast of? We boast of all our great plans. 5-year plan, 10-year plan, 20-year plan. How we can enlarge and become rich and prosperous. We make all these plans, but we plan without God in the picture. And we pride ourselves with our intelligence, with our ability, with our business prowess. And then we forget God. And we think life is in our hands. We can make all these plans. Go here, go there. Spend a year here, a year there. And make all these plans. Not knowing that God is sovereign, He's in control. Life and death are in His hands. And we don't consult Him and seek Him to do His will. We forget God. Don't we? All such rejoicing, James says, is evil because it is idolatry. We break the first commandment. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot have the best of both worlds. And the Lord Jesus Christ demands complete and absolute loyalty and allegiance and obedience from us. You want to follow the Lord Jesus, you must forsake the world. You cannot love money and love God at the same time. The love of money is the root of all evil, for it will cause you to break the very first commandment. You make money your God, and you worship money. Even yourself. So let us be careful. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be joy and life. But if you love money and you serve money, it will bring you great sorrow and even death. The second commandment is this. Second commandment is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Now, when greed takes control of our hearts and of our minds, the goods and the things of this world become our idols, right? And then the rich and the wealthy and the successful and the powerful people become our idols. We look up to them. We adore them. We want to follow them. We want to emulate them, imitate them, isn't it? And whatever gods that are in this world that will help me to become prosperous, I will worship. And the worship of possessions and material wealth is found in many social functions and parties, isn't it? Where the rich and the powerful will flaunt all their clothing, expensive clothes and jewelry, they flaunt them and they seek the praise of men when they display all their riches in what they wear. And the flashy and powerful ones are fawned upon by lesser beings, hoping that they might receive some crumbs of favor from the rich and powerful, hoping that in time, well, we can become like them. We bow to such people. And the Lord says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. You don't bow thyself to them, for only God is worthy of our worship. Do we worship the rich and the powerful because we are greedy after what they have? We lust after all these riches and material wealth, and we don't flaunt them as well, and receive the adoration and admiration of others. That is the sin of greed. And when we sin like this, we break the second commandment, don't we? What's the third commandment? Third commandment says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. The sin of greed can make us to break the third commandment. Greed can cause people to make use of the name of Christ to line their pockets to enrich themselves in a corrupted way. There are many who call themselves Christians, and then they attend church, but they do not see the church as a place of worship. They see the church as a place for business. It's a marketplace to solicit clients and customers. Do we come to church for that purpose? And they come to church not carrying their Bibles. They come to church armed with all their name cards, and then they freely distribute their company tracts to advertise themselves and their products. And then there are also these false teachers and false preachers who use the name of Christ to get rich, and by so doing they break this commandment, taking the name of God and of Christ in vain. You turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. Oh, these false preachers and false teachers have ulterior motives. And their motive is to enrich themselves, to make merchandise out of God's people. And all because of what? The love of money. The root is the sin of greed. 2 Peter chapter 2. In verse 1 to 3 we read, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And look at this, verse 3. And through covetousness, greed, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. And the phrase here, to make merchandise, comes from the Greek word emporiomai. That's where we get the word emporium. They treat the church and the congregation as their emporium. They come to church to do their shopping, taking money from the people. All right. And these are the false teachers and the false prophets that come in for this reason. They make an emporium out of you, making merchandise out of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. They use the name of Christ for this purpose. And by so doing, they break this third commandment. They use the name of Christ and the name of God in vain. In vain. For their own selfish purpose and reason. To get gain for themselves. Making the church into an emporium. A den of thieves. Be careful we don't do this, dear friends. Especially those studying to be full-time servants at the Far Eastern Bible College. I pray none of our students will graduate to become like this. Make sure you serve the Lord because you love Him. Because He has called you, not because of filthy lucre. Okay? Commandment number 4. Says here, remember the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Keeping the Sabbath day holy. And if we are filled with greed in our lives, and we are pursuing after material wealth and riches and money, we will break this commandment. We will despise the day of the Lord. We will despise the Sabbath day. Greed will cause us to forget God and forget the day of worship. It causes us to be near to the world and far from God. And since the weekend and Sunday is a time where we can make more business, it's the best time to do business, because the people are out there doing their shopping. We give up the worship of God on that day to do our own business, trying to make more money. And we justify ourselves by making an excuse. Oh, I'm just earning more money so that I can give more money to God. And God does not delight in our sacrifices, in our offerings. God wants our obedience to His commandment. But greed takes us away from the worship that is due to God, even on the Sabbath day. How many of us skip Sabbath because of business? Because we want to clinch a deal? Then we miss church. Now, of course, there are occupations of humanity and necessity that requires people to work even on Sunday. I'm talking about occupations like doctors and nurses, policemen and firemen, those involved in national security. Well, yes, there are these occupations that may take us away, and that is fine. We're not talking about such occupations. But the common and the ordinary one. But we make the Lord's Day a day of rest, a day of His worship, a day of business. And by so doing, we break this fourth commandment, don't we? So, dear friends, please make Sunday, Sabbath day, a very, very important and special day to come and meet with the Lord, no matter what. And when you meet with the Lord and you seek God and His kingdom and His righteousness, God promised, I will provide for you. Add all these things that you need in your life. So let us exercise faith and obey the commandments of God and keep the Sabbath day. Don't let greed take us away from Him, fellowshipping with the Lord, worshipping Him, studying His word, on the Lord's day. Fifth commandment. The fifth commandment is honor thy father and thy mother. Now, greed makes people to see the elderly as liabilities, right? Greedy people blame the old people, the aged, for draining away their resources, making them poor when their goal is to be rich. And Jesus condemned the Pharisees and the Sadducees for having this kind of an attitude. You turn to Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. Mark 7, verse 9 to verse 13. Now, Pharisees do all this, they dishonor their parents by their tradition. But we can also dishonor our parents by our greed, right? In a similar fashion, look at Mark 7, verse 9. It says here, and he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die to death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And he suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Money that is supposed to be given to your parents, you don't want to give your parents. You say, it is korban. You say, this belongs to God. And you give to God what is due to your parents in order to save yourself from making that gift. That's greed. You go according to their greedy traditions. And by so doing, they have broken this commandment, have they not? The fifth commandment. They dishonor their father and their mother. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. Greed brings about envy and strife. We become jealous of other people's promotions and successes, and we even hate them for it. And then we think of ways to undermine and sabotage their work so that we might get the upper hand. Do we do that? All this comes from what? From greed. And the Apostle James warned of these atrocities and the vanities of greed and of lust in our life. For example, in James chapter 4, 1 to 3, turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, it says here, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Wars and fightings are a transgression of the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Come they not hence, even of your lust, your greed, your selfish ambition and desires that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. And ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. We break this commandment, don't we, when we are greedy. For when we are greedy, we think of murder. Think of harming others so that we might gain from it. So we must beware. Worldliness and lustfulness is great loss. Godliness and contentment with contentment is great gain. The opposite is true. Worldliness and lustfulness is great loss. You may kill, you don't obtain. You ask, you don't get because you ask amiss with selfish motives. So greed can lead to murder. And we find one example in the Old Testament. How many have killed for the sake of money? Remember the story of Ahab and Jezebel, don't we? how Naboth had a vineyard, and Ahab desired the vineyard of Naboth. And Naboth says, I cannot sell the vineyard because it's the Lord's inheritance. I cannot give it to you. And then Jezebel, that wicked queen, all right, killed Naboth in order to take his vineyard. Yes, greed leads to murder. We have one example in the Old Testament, 1 Kings 21, how Jezebel killed in order to take Naboth's vineyard. And then the seventh commandment. Seventh commandment says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And greed brings about ungodliness and discontentment. Well, we want more and more. Not only more and more money, we want more and more women committing adultery. And often in time, for the sake of money and for the sake of clinching a lucrative business deal, we compromise our morals and our ethics, don't we? And we tempt our clients with wine, women, and song, make them happy, so that they might sign on a dotted line. When we do this, we tempt others with wine, women, and song, just to what? Clinch a business deal. We commit the sin of adultery. And we even participate in the fun, don't we? Do we do this? I pray not. And then with so much traveling today, living in a globalized village, globalization can bring about such sins. With so much traveling today and lengthy business trips overseas in pursuit of wealth, how many an already married man have married foreign women and are keeping them as mistresses in other parts of the world? I know of cases like this. It's not talking about unbelievers, it's talking about people in the church. And because of greed, we can fall into this very, very deadly trap. How we must guard ourselves, dear friends. Be careful of the sin of greed. The temptation is real. And such adulterous affairs are not uncommon today. Breaking of the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery because of greed. Eighth commandment. Eighth commandment is, thou shalt not steal. Now, greed is the mother of theft. It has led many to steal and to rob. Many a lover of money have been corrupted by greed. And having been so corrupted, they commit the crime of criminal breach of trust, CBT. And the man who loves money will not be able to resist the temptation of stealing what does not belong to him. And in land-scarce Singapore, where property prices are sky high, there's always a temptation to acquire property that is not yours and then to encroach on what belongs to others, right? And you read this in the papers. Greed has caused all these things and pierced many people with great sorrows. And greed makes us not only to steal other people's money, but to steal also their property. And many verses in the Bible warn us against this. For example, in Deuteronomy 19, verse 14, it is commanded, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Remove not thy neighbor's landmark, or the boundaries of his property, which has been set from old time. It is their inheritance, and you have no right to take over what God has given to them. Proverbs 22:28 says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. And then Proverbs 23, verse 10-11 reiterates, remove not the old landmark, enter not into the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is mighty, and he shall plead their cause with thee. And then Deuteronomy 27, verse 17, has this severe warning. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. When you steal another person's property or inheritance in terms of their land that God has given to them, there's a curse from the Lord. Be very careful, dear friends, that we do not sin in such a way. Greed can lead us to do this. And then we receive the curse of God. And did not Ahab and Jezebel meet with this cursed end for masterminding the murder of Naboth in order to steal his vineyard? The vineyard he would not sell because it's the Lord's inheritance. You can read that story in 1 Kings 21. There's much to learn from there. And then the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Is it not true that we often resort to lying and cheating in order to get gain? Jezebel, for instance, desiring to take possession of Naboth's vineyard, hired two scoundrels, they're called sons of Belial, scoundrels to bear a false testimony, to bear false witness against Naboth, falsely charging him of blaspheming God and blaspheming the king, which, of course, Naboth did not do at all. So that Naboth might be stoned to death, and when he dies, or when he has died, the land can be taken over. That was what Ahab and Jezebel did. Greed has led them to make false accusations, to bear false witness. Let us be careful of this. This bearing of false witness was also the sin of Ananias and Sapphira, who falsely declared their offerings to the Lord and were struck dead, having lied to the Holy Spirit, bearing false witness for selfish reasons, because of greed. And so for us, false declarations of income, doctoring of accounts, manipulation of figures for selfish gain are all transgressions of the ninth commandment. Greed can lead us to commit such a sin. May we watch out. And then the final and tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Covetousness is the greedy desire to have what belongs to others. Right. It is closely tied to the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. See, covetousness is a sin of the heart. And stealing is the sin of action, sin of the deed. One begets the other. And the antidote for such a sin, the sin of covetousness, is godly contentment. How to cure if we have greedy hearts, covetous hearts? How to cure it? The only cure for it is godly contentment. As Paul says, that is the antidote. But godliness with contentment is great gain. This is divine economics. You want to be rich, you want to be prosperous, you want to be wealthy, you follow God's secret formula. This comes from above. Godliness plus contentment equals great profit. You cannot learn this in a university. You can only learn it in a church, in God's word. And you apply this divine economics, you will be wealthy in your life and prosperous. Godliness plus contentment equals great profit. And so the sin of greed is terribly destructive. Let us uproot it from our hearts and replace it with a charitable heart of giving. That's what John Wesley said. John Wesley had a good statement. He says this, We should earn all we can, save all we can, and give all we can. And surely this is the way of charity, which will arrest this sin of greed that seeks to devour us, destroy us, and not only to destroy us, also destroys others who are close to us. Let not the sin of greed take hold of us. Let us overcome it with godly contentment. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for this warning that you have given to us in the scriptures. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, times when we are greedy and covetousness, and we have sinned against thee, we want to repent of our sin. Help us, Lord, to walk in thy way, which is truth and which is life. Prepare now our hearts for the Lord's Supper. And Lord, we pray we might partake of the bread and cup with clean hands and pure hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.